Chapter 18. A Thorn in the Mind. The timbre of the shuttle's thrusters deepened as they made a near-ballistic descent towards Alderuk, swelling from an angry whine to a thunderous roar as they plummeted from the stratosphere into the denser air at sea level. The shuttle's airframe trembled as the pilot pushed the craft to its limits. Zahariel had told him to fly to the fortress as though his life depended on it, and he was taking the Astartes at his word. The librarian felt the shuddering of the craft in his bones and had to raise his powerful voice to be heard over the noise. "General Morton, this is a direct order!" he yelled into his vox speed. "Unseal the hab levels at the Northwilds Arcology and redistribute the populace through the upper levels!" The Terran General's reply was faint and washed with static, but there was no mistaking the exasperation in his voice.
"Sir, I believe I explained this before. The security situation... I'm well aware of the security situation," Zahariel snapped.
He glanced across the passenger compartment at Master Ramiel and Sardavial, who were both pretending not to listen to the tense exchange.
"The cordon is only making things worse. You've got to get those people out of there before you have a catastrophe on your hands." "But, sir, the logistics of relocating 5 million people will require a great deal of effort and coordination on our part,"
Zahariel cut in. "So I expect you and your staff to give the matter your complete and immediate attention. Make it happen, General. I don't care what it takes." Zahariel broke the connection without giving Morton a chance to reply. He wasn't interested in arguing the matter, and he had no intention of explaining his reasons over Vox. Daviel turned away from the viewport at his left and stared questioningly at Zahariel.
"Do you think he'll do it?"
the maimed knight asked. The librarian sighed. "Not all Terrans are corrupt devils, Sardavial. Morton is a good soldier. He'll follow orders." Daviel's scarred face twisted into a scowl, but he offered no reply. Zahariel studied the scarred knight for a moment.
"How long have you known?" he asked.
Sardavial narrowed his one good eye.
"Known what?"
"About Caliban. About the taint." Daviel's fierce expression grew haunted.
"Ah, that."
He rubbed his chin with one scarred hand.
"A long time. Too long, perhaps."
The knight shook his head.
"At first, I thought I must be going mad. After all, you'd seen the same things I had, and never seemed to think anything of it."
Zahariel straightened in his chair. "What things?" he asked, feeling the skin prickle on the back of his neck. "What are you talking about?" Daviel frowned in consternation.
"Why, the library, of course," he replied. "At the fortress of the Knights of Lupus. Surely you remember."
His one eye grew unfocused, as though he were recalling the details of a nightmare.
"All those books. Those terrible, terrible books."
The librarian felt his skin grow cold. "How could you have seen the library, Daviel?" he asked him.
"I saw you wounded in the castle courtyard."
Daviel's gaze fell.
"So I was," he said quietly. "I was raving with fever for days afterwards. The chirurgeons feared to move me in the state I was in, so I and a few other wounded men were left behind when the army returned to Alderuk."
The old knight fell silent for a moment as the memories welled up inside him. He stared at his hands, curled like claws in his lap.
"Later, when we could get up and hobble about for a few hours at a time, they try to find jobs for us to do, to keep our spirits up. So they put some of us to work in that library, crating everything up to be carried back home."
Daviel sighed.
"They rotated us in shifts, so we were only up there a few hours at a time, and we had strict orders not to open any of the books."
He smiled ruefully.
"The chirurgeons said they didn't want us to exert our minds unduly in our weakened state."
"But you didn't listen."
"No, I didn't,"
Daviel said heavily.
"I and another knight succumbed to our curiosity. We pored through some of the oldest books as we readied them for packing. Towards the end, we spent more time reading than working, to tell the truth."
"What was in the books?" Zahariel pressed.
"History. Literature. Art and philosophy. There were books on science and medicine and forbidden things. Ancient, occult tomes, many of them written by hand."
He shook his head.
I couldn't understand most of it, but it was clear that the Knights of Lupus had been studying the great beasts, and the North Wilds itself, for centuries. They knew about the taint, though they didn't fully understand it. They seemed to believe it was a force that could be summoned and controlled. I saw grimoires that purported to contain rituals for that very purpose.
His voice trailed away, and his face paled at the recollections. Zahariel watched him raise a hand to his ruined cheek, as though the old wound pained him once more. After a moment, the knight gave a shudder and shook his head roughly, as though waking from a vivid dream. He blinked his eyes a few times, and focused on the Astartes once more.
Afterwards, once the books were crated away and we were allowed to make the journey home, we tried to forget the things we'd seen.
He smiled faintly.
Strange. Of all the horrors we witnessed at that place, it was the memories of those books that haunted us most of all. We would talk about them sometimes, late into the night, trying to understand what it all meant. I believed that they heralded the next stage of our crusade, that once the great beast had been destroyed, Johnson would dedicate our order to driving the taint from Caliban, once and for all.
Davil's face turned solemn.
Then the Emperor came, and everything changed. We traded one crusade for another, and I couldn't understand why. If what was in those books was true, then Caliban was still in terrible danger. That, more than anything else, was why I left.
Why? Zahariel asked. Davil paused, struggling to find a way to put his thoughts into words. His hand reached up to absently rub his scarred temple.
I had to know the truth, he said at last. The books had vanished, but the memories of what I saw stuck with me, like a thorn in the mind. I tried to tell myself that they were just fables, peasant myths, like the watchers in the woods. But guilt ate at me day and night. Because if the taint was real, the great beasts would just rise again, and everything we'd suffered would be in vain.
The old knight sighed.
So I left the Order and embarked on one last quest. To find the surviving members of the Knights of Lupus.
Zahariel blinked in surprise. But there were no survivors, he said. Lord Sartana had summoned the entire Order back to their fortress in the North Wilds. They died to a man in the final assault.
So we were led to believe, Davil replied. Lord Sartana sent out the call, to be sure, but the Knights of Lupus were famous for sending their knights out to the farthest-flung parts of the world on strange and secretive quests. Not all of them could have made it back in time for the siege. Or so I believed.
The librarian frowned, trying to think back to the days immediately after the siege. Hadn't Johnson made a statement of some kind about hunting for outlaw members of the Knights of Lupus? He couldn't recall. A faint sense of unease stirred in his gut.
For the first few years, I waited near the ruins of their fortress for the errant wolves to come home, Davil continued. I expected the survivors would try to return and see what they could salvage of their order. When none appeared, I began to search the frontiers for signs of their passage.
Were you successful? Zahariel asked. Davil nodded grimly.
As best I could tell, there were 5 Knights of Lupus who weren't present at the siege, he replied. I found the bones of 3 of them in the deep wilderness, where they tried to live for months after the destruction of their fortress. The 4th one I tracked to a half-ruined tower near Stone Point, on the other side of the world from the North Wilds. He fought me like a cornered animal, and when he realized that he couldn't best me, he leapt from the top of the tower into the raging sea, rather than give up his secrets.
And the 5th? Davil paused, casting a questioning glance at Ramiel. The old master gestured for the knight to continue with a wave of his hand. The old knight sighed.
The last one was the hardest to track of all, he said. He never stayed in one place for too long, passing like a ghost from one village to another. No one could remember for certain what he looked like, and he wore a great many names over the years. For a long time I couldn't be sure if he was even real. Until I turned up his horse and tack, still marked with sigils of his order, in a trade town at Hill's End,
What had become of him? Davil's good eye narrowed.
According to the horse's new owner, the man took his coin, bought some new clothes from a merchant, and then presented himself to a brother knight of the order who was passing through the village in search of new aspirants.
The news stunned Zahariel. He looked to Master Ramiel. Surely, someone would have realized. Ramiel arched an eyebrow at his former pupil.
How so? If he were a young knight with no reputation and no sense of honor, he could claim to be a woodsman's son, and no one would be any wiser.
His eyes bored into Zahariel.
With his skills and experience, he could rise through the Order's ranks quite rapidly, in fact.
Zahariel frowned. What are you getting at? He demanded. Ramiel's expression turned bitter, and then the librarian understood. Ramiel saw the realization on Zahariel's face and nodded.
Now, you begin to see.
No, Zahariel protested. It's impossible. Johnson would never have allowed.
But he did,
Ramiel snarled, his voice sharpening with long-suppressed anger.
Did you ever wonder why Johnson named an unknown young knight as the new Lord Cipher, entrusting him with all of our traditions and secrets?
Zahariel shook his head. But why? What possible reason could he have for such a thing?
Think, son,
Ramiel said, once more an impatient tutor instructing an obstinate pupil.
Put aside your damned idealism for a moment and think in terms of tactics. What would such a choice give Johnson?
Zahariel swallowed his shock and irritation and considered the matter in cold terms. He chose someone with no ties to the Order's senior knights or masters, whose loyalty was to him alone, he said, thinking aloud. Someone who could be counted on to act in Johnson's best interests above everything else.
And would keep his secrets, regardless of the consequences to everyone else,
Ramiel said. The Astartes considered the implications and felt a cold surge of horror.
I can't believe this,
he said, his voice hollow.
Can't or won't,
the old master said.
Do you imagine this was any easier for me to accept? I helped raise Lionel Johnson when Luther brought him back from the wilderness. He was like a son to me.
But why, Zahariel protested, why all the secrets and deceptions? We were sworn to him, Ramiel. He already had our oaths. We would have followed him into Old Night itself if he asked. Ramiel didn't answer at first. Zahariel watched the old master's anger fade like heat from a dying ember, giving way to anguish, and then finally to an empty, barren sadness.
It's not that any of us lost faith in Johnson, he said softly.
Tears glimmered at the corners of his eyes.
Somewhere along the line, he lost faith in us. Wherever he and the Emperor are headed, we aren't meant to follow. All we can do now is reclaim what was once ours.
The thought stung Zahariel like a knife pricking at his heart. He tried to gainsay Ramiel, to find some fault in the old master's bleak logic. They spent the last few minutes of the flight in silence. When they reached Alderuk, Zahariel cased himself in his armor and took up bolt, pistol, and staff before leading Ramiel and Davil to the Grand Master's chambers. He found Lord Cipher there, as he expected he would. Cipher glanced up sharply from the reports piled atop the desk. His eyes widened as he saw the rebel leaders. It was the first time Zahariel had ever seen the Astartes taken by surprise.
What's the meaning of this?
Cipher demanded coldly.
Take us to Luther, Zahariel demanded. Now.
I can't do that,
Cipher replied, regaining some of his inscrutable poise.
As I've told you many times, brother, Luther is in meditation and does not want to be disturbed.
He will when he hears what we have to say, Zahariel shot back. Caliban's survival is at stake.
His hand tightened on his staff.
If you won't take us to him, then tell us where he can be found.
I can't do that, Cipher replied coolly. My orders are from the Master of Caliban. You haven't the authority to countermand them.
Surely, Luther expects to be informed in the event of an emergency, Zahariel persisted.
Cipher smiled thinly.
Why, of course. Give me the message and I'll relay it to him immediately.
Zahariel felt a surge of anger. Before he could reply, however, he heard heavy footfalls behind him. He turned to see Brother Librarian Israfael and Chapter Master Astolan standing just inside the doorway. Israfael eyed Daviel and Master Ramiel with wary surprise, while Astolan's eyes flashed with irritation when he caught sight of Zahariel.
"Where have you been?" Astolan said. "I've been searching for you all over Alderuk."
"What's happened?" Zahariel asked, already fearing what he might hear. If Astolan hadn't used the vox to contact him, it could only mean one thing.
"Half an hour ago, we began hearing of wide-scale rioting at the Northwilds Arcology," Astolan said grimly. "Mobs of panicked civilians have rushed the barricades around the Hablevels. Many of them are claiming that the Imperials are secretly in league with sorcerers who mean to sacrifice them to the warp."
Daviel let out an angry groan.
"Thuriel's behind this," he said. "That short-sighted idiot has damned us all."
Zahariel felt a chill race up his spine. "What about the Jaegers?" he asked. "I ordered General Morton to open the cordon and begin relocating the civilians." Astolan shook his head in exasperation.
"We're getting wildly conflicting reports," he said. "We've heard that some units have opened fire on the rioters, while others have thrown down their arms or even switched sides. The administratum officials at the Arcology have contacted Magos Bosk, and she is demanding to know what we're doing about the situation."
"I told you that we couldn't keep this a secret from her," Israfael interjected angrily. "She's probably drafting an urgent report to the Primarch right now, accusing us all of negligence. And she would be right to do so."
"That's not the worst of it," the chapter master said, cutting his Raphael off with an angry glare.
He turned back to Zahariel.
"There have been fragmentary transmissions from Jaeger patrols on the lower Hab levels, reporting that they're under attack."
"Under attack?" Zahariel echoed. He eyed the rebel leaders. "By whom?"
"By the dead," Astolan replied.
The words hung heavy in the chamber.
"It's over," Ramiel said, putting a voice to their thoughts. "We're too late."
Zahariel shook his head stubbornly. "No," he said, "not yet." He turned back to Cypher, his face pale with anger. The hooded Astartes started to say something, then recoiled with a gasp of pain as Zahariel sent a probe of psychic energy into Cypher's mind.
"The time for dissembling is past," Zahariel said, his tone as cold and sharp as ice. "Take us to Luther, now."
Cypher gritted his teeth under the psychic onslaught.
"I won't!"
"Then I'll dig his location out of your brain," Zahariel said, "along with any other secrets you've been keeping. I can't say there will be much left of you afterwards, though."
Zahariel drove his probe deeper into Cypher's mind. The Astartes went rigid. A thin trickle of blood seeped from one nostril.
Stop!
Cypher said in a choked whisper.
"I'll do it! I'll take you to him! Just..."
He slumped with a groan as Zahariel released him. Cypher's head drooped for a moment, his shoulders heaving. When he looked up at the librarian, his expression was savage.
"You don't know what you're trifling with, you fool!"
Cypher snarled.
"The Primarch!"
"The Primarch isn't here," Zahariel said coldly.
"So I'll trifle with whatever I must. Now get up. We haven't any more time to waste." Cypher got up from behind the desk without another word. They followed him from the room, hovering at his shoulder like ravens. Cypher led them into darkness, deep within the bowels of the rock. From the circle chamber, they descended through a secret stairway at the top of the Grand Master's dais that Zahariel never knew existed, yet at the same time seemed tantalizingly familiar. Try as he might, he couldn't reconcile the two notions. The more he concentrated, the more his head began to ache. Finally, he decided to let the matter go rather than compromise his already frayed concentration. The pain in his skull subsided, but didn't entirely vanish. The stairwell ended at a low-ceilinged room that might once have been a meeting space in times past. Now the ancient brickwork was pierced by modern archways of fused permacrete that continued even further into the depths. Cypher led them through the dimly lit passageways without hesitation, threading his way through a labyrinth of tunnels that began to tax even Zahariel's genetically enhanced memory. Deeper and deeper they went, down into the very heart of the mountain, until it felt as though they'd been walking for hours. Zahariel reckoned they were more than 1,000 meters down when Cypher turned down a narrow, vaulted corridor that abruptly ended at a tall, arched doorway. The doors themselves, Zahariel noted with surprise, were plated with adamantium and set in a reinforced frame. Anything powerful enough to breach that portal would also incinerate anything on the other side, his trained mind noted. Standing before the doors, Cypher dug a sophisticated electronic key from within his robes. With a last furious glance at Zahariel, he held the key up to the portal and touched the actuator. Bolts drew back into the frame with an oiled clatter, and the tall doors swung silently inward. The library within was built vertically, its packed shelves rising on eight sides to a vaulted ceiling 50 meters overhead. Long, thin lumen strips set into the stone at the corners of the eight walls filled the space with pellucid light. The air smelt faintly of ozone and machine oil. High up along the walls, Zahariel could see four small logo servitors waiting unobtrusively in the shadows, clinging to the walls with their spindly limbs and watching the Astartes with small red eyes. Zahariel reckoned the floor of the library was perhaps 30 paces across, covered with thick rugs to combat the subterranean chill. Reading desks and heavy wooden tables were arrayed haphazardly about the room, piled with open books and ancient musty scrolls. More books were scattered in drifts across the floor, between and beneath the tables. There were so many that the Astartes were forced to pause just beyond the threshold, afraid of treading upon the fragile tomes. The air in the library was utterly still, heavy with the dust of ages. The only sound Zahariel could hear was the soft whirring of servo motors overhead. A current of invisible energy, faint but palpable, sent tendrils of ice spreading through his skull. He drew a breath and spoke into the cathedral silence. "Luther? My lord, are you here?" A figure stirred in the shadowy depths of a high-backed chair near the centre of the room. Zahariel could just make out the head and shoulders of a man, limned in the faint, bluish, silver light.
"Zahariel,"
Luther replied. His voice was rough, as if from long hours of exertion.
"You shouldn't be here."
Lord Cypher took a cautious step forward, distancing himself from the rest of the Astartes.
"I beg your forgiveness, my lord," he said with bowed head. "They would not honour your wishes."
Zahariel glared at Cypher's back.
"This has nothing to do with anyone's wishes," he snapped. "This is a time of crisis. Caliban stands upon the brink of disaster, my lord. The Legion must act now, or all is lost."
Luther rose slowly from the chair and stepped forward into the light. His eyes were sunken and his cheeks hollowed, as though from the ravages of a terrible illness, and there were dark ink marks on his hands, wrists, and throat. The master of Caliban paused, his cracked lips working as he peered at the figures standing at Zahariel's shoulder.
"Master Ramiel," he said, "is this a dream? I thought you long dead." "I continue to confound my enemies, my lord,"
Ramiel answered with a faint smile.
"I'm glad to hear it," Luther said. His expression turned somber. "But I see you travel in the company of rebels these days," he said, pointing to Sardaviel. "Is it me you seek to confound now, master?"
Ramiel didn't flinch from the accusation.
"No loyal son of Caliban is an enemy of mine," he answered coolly.
Zahariel studied Luther with concern.
"My lord, when did you last eat or drink?" he asked.
Though an Astartes could go for many weeks with minimal nourishment, he knew that Luther's body hadn't received the full suite of metabolic enhancements. By the look of things, Zahariel feared that he'd been fasting for weeks. The master of Caliban ignored the question.
"What is going on here, brothers?" he asked,
his voice regaining some of its strength and authority.
"The truth has become known," Israfael said grimly. "Rumours have spread through the Northwilds that the Imperium is in league with sorcerers," he spat angrily. "Riots have broken out and the Administratum is up in arms."
Luther's eyes widened in anger.
"How did these rumours start?" he demanded. "I ordered this knowledge kept secret. Who is responsible?"
Zahariel took a deep breath and stepped forward.
"I am," he said gravely. "The fault is mine."
The admission took Luther aback.
"You?" he said disbelievingly. "But why?"
All eyes turned to Zahariel. Head high, the librarian reported everything he'd seen and done at the Arcology. Luther listened, his expression growing harder by the moment. He gave no reaction to the proposed truce with the rebels, though both Astolan and Israfael glowered angrily at the news. Zahariel concluded by relating what they'd recently heard from the Northwilds.
"Things are balanced on a knife's edge, my lord," he said. "If we strike quickly, we might still be able to contain the situation."
"No, we can't," Luther said flatly.
He shook his head, his expression bleak.
"It's far too late for that. I don't fault you for what you did, brother, but there's no going back now. Caliban's fate is sealed."
Luther turned in the stunned silence that followed and walked to one of the heavy reading tables. He bent over a massive leather-bound tome, brushing the tips of his fingers across one of the thick vellum pages. Zahariel caught a better glimpse of Luther's hands and saw that the ink marks there were actually symbols of some kind, laid out in a geometric pattern. A chill raced up the back of his neck.
"They wanted me to kill him, you know," he said quietly. "I can still hear their voices, as though it were yesterday."
Zahariel gave Luther a bemused frown.
"Kill who, my lord?"
The Master of Caliban glanced up from the book.
"Why, Johnson, of course," he replied. "There we were, in the worst part of the North Wilds, so deep in the forest that we hadn't seen the sun for a week. We'd already killed two beasts by then, and lost Sir Lutiel in the process. Most of us were wounded and feverish, but we pressed on nonetheless."
He smiled faintly.
"No one had ever gone so far into that part of the wilderness, and we were all hungry for glory."
Luther's eyes grew unfocused as the memories took hold.
"We'd come upon a stream at midday," he continued, "a prime spot for predators, but our water bottles were empty, so we decided to take the risk. I was standing watch, sitting in the saddle with my pistol ready, and the next thing any of us knew, there was this little boy standing with us. He'd walked right out of the woods into our midst, as silent as you please."
The Master of Caliban chuckled ruefully.
"We just gaped at him for a moment. I think everyone believed he was a fever dream at first. Naked as a babe, his golden hair matted with twigs and leaves. And his eyes..."
Luther shook his head.
"His eyes were cold and knowing like a wolf's, and utterly unafraid. Sir Adriel looked into those eyes and turned white as a sheet. He and Sir Javiel's hands were laden with water bottles and couldn't protect themselves. 'Kill him,' Adriel said to me. I'd never heard him sound so frightened in his life." "And I nearly did," Luther confessed. "You don't know how close I came, brothers. I knew what Adriel was thinking. We were more than 100 leagues from the nearest village, in the deadliest forest on Caliban, and here was a child barely tall enough to touch my saddle, without a single mark on his body. He couldn't have survived in a wilderness like that alone. It wasn't possible. I remember thinking he was a monster," Luther said.
Tears welled in his eyes.
"What else could he be? So I raised my pistol and took careful aim. One shot to the head was all it would take. My finger was tightening on the trigger when he turned and looked at me. He didn't flinch at the sight of the pistol. And why would he? He didn't have the faintest idea what it was."
Luther drew in a great, racking breath.
"That's when I realized what I was about to do. And I was ashamed. So I tossed the pistol to the ground."
Tears were flowing freely down Luther's cheeks. Zahariel glanced back at his Raphael and Astolan. The Astartes were just as unnerved by Luther's strange demeanor as he was. He struggled to come up with a reply, but it was Ramiel who spoke first.
"There is no shame in sparing the innocent," the old master said softly. "But he wasn't innocent," Luther cried bitterly. "He knew. Johnson knew about the taint all along, and he spilled an ocean of blood to keep the truth from us."
Zahariel reeled in surprise at the vehemence in Luther's voice.
"You can't possibly mean that, my lord," he protested numbly. "Why else would he have goaded the Knights of Lupus into war, then annihilated them? Why else take their books?"
Luther picked up the arcane tome and brandished it at Zahariel.
"And hide them from our eyes, because of what they could tell us about the planet's taint. Lion L. Johnson went to great lengths to silence those who knew too much, and it only got worse once the Emperor arrived." "That is enough,"
Brother Librarian Israfael shouted.
"I will not have you defame our Primarch in this fashion, much less the Emperor."
Pain blossomed in the back of Zahariel's head, so sudden and intense it nearly overwhelmed him. He groaned, pressing a hand to his temple and trying to push the agony aside, then turned to see Israfael standing well apart from the others, his fists clenched. Chapter Master Astolan stood to one side, his gaze shifting from Israfael to Luther, as though unsure whom to believe. The room seemed to shift beneath Zahariel's feet. Things were spinning out of control, he knew. He'd never meant for things to come to this.
"Not everyone was silenced," he protested. "What about Nemuel? What about me? We were the last people to speak to Lord Sartana, and nothing befell us."
"Brother Nemuel may lie dead on some distant world for all we know," Luther said grimly. "And you are here, exiled to a world that will soon be consigned to the flames."
His voice rose, teetering on the edge of madness.
"Don't you see? Johnson knew that the Imperium would one day destroy Caliban. That's why we're here. He didn't just forsake us, brother. He sent us here to die."
"Not another word!"
Israfael roared. Arcs of psychic power danced around his head, crackling like miniature thunderbolts.
"My lord, you are unwell and no longer fit for command."
He turned to Zahariel. "In the name of the Primarch and for the honor of the Legion, you must assume control and order Luther to submit himself to the Apothecarian at once."
"It's too late for such treacheries, Terran," Luther snarled.
He tossed the book aside and came around the edge of the table, his dark eyes blazing.
"He knows the truth now, don't you, Zahariel?"
An invisible storm of psychic power swelled within the room. Zahariel's mind reeled. He saw Master Ramiel and Sar Daviel just a few meters away, caught in between the two furious warriors. A thought came to him through the growing haze of pain.
"This is a mistake, my lord," he said to Luther. "Sar Daviel," he cried, "your friend, the knight who read these same books. Who was he? Where is he now?"
Daviel turned to the librarian with a haunted look in his eyes.
"His name was Ulient," the old knight said. "He disappeared on the day the Emperor came to Caliban and was never seen again."
A spear of pure burning pain lanced through Zahariel's mind. He cried out, pressing his hands to his temples. It felt as though a dam had burst in his brain, unleashing a torrent of pent-up memories. Darkness, armored hands gripping him, holding him upright. Is Raphael's voice, echoing from the blackness.
"The plot failed and the conspirator is being interrogated. We will soon uncover those who sought to do us harm and deal with them."
Another voice. Brother Midris.
"Tell us everything and leave nothing out, or it will go badly for you. Start with how you knew what Brother Ulient was planning."
"Brother Ulient," he said. "Is that his name? I didn't know him."
Except that he did. He'd seen him in the secret room beneath the circle chamber. Nemuel had taken him there to meet with the members of the conspiracy. He remembered the hooded men in white surplices talking of killing the Emperor of Mankind. "The Imperium is not to be trusted. We know they are plotting to enslave us and take this world for themselves." He remembered the shining figure that had appeared at the door of the interrogation chamber, his face too glorious to behold, the voice of the Emperor of Mankind rolling over him like an ocean wave.
"Be sure he remembers nothing of this. No suspicion of any dissent must exist within the Legion. We must be united, or we are lost."
Zahariel fell to his knees, his body trembling as the last vestiges of the psychic block unraveled. Israfael and Luther had fallen silent, and every eye was upon him. The sense of violation, of betrayal, was almost too terrible to bear. He turned to Israfael.
"You tampered with my mind, brother," he said, his voice barely above a whisper.
"Of course," Israfael said, his tone unapologetic. "The Emperor himself commanded it. I would expect you to do the same."
"Couldn't he have simply trusted me?" Zahariel cried. "Wouldn't my oath have been enough? Has he no honor?"
"Honor has nothing to do with it," Israfael snarled.
"We are his Astartes, Zahariel. It's not for us to question his will."
"That is where you are wrong, Terran," Master Ramiel said. "You and your kind may be content to live as slaves, but we never will."
Zahariel felt the surge of psychic power a heartbeat before as Raphael struck. Time slowed, and everything seemed to happen at once. Bellowing in rage, Israfael rounded on Master Ramiel and flung out a gauntleted hand. Skeins of searing white fire leapt from the librarian's fingertips, but Sar Daviel was already moving, putting his body between Israfael and Ramiel. The psychic blast tore into his chest, searing his flesh and setting his robes on fire. Luther shouted a command, and Zahariel felt his body respond even before his mind registered what he'd heard. He leapt to his feet and focused his will into his armor's psychic hood. The hood's dampener was not only for self-protection, it could also be used to combat the power of other psychers within a certain distance from the device. Zahariel turned its power on Brother Israfael, and the librarian's energies faltered. At the same time, Chapter Master Astolan rushed at Israfael from the side, his pistol raised. But the senior librarian would not be overcome so easily. Israfael ducked as Astolan tried to strike him with the butt of his bolt pistol and lashed out with his hand. His fingertips seemed to brush lightly against Astolan's breastplate, but Zahariel felt the psychic discharge that flung the chapter master through the air at him. Zahariel ducked barely in time, but his concentration on the dampener faltered for a fleeting instant. That was all the opening that Israfael needed. With a savage cry, he raised his hands and unleashed a torrent of crackling energy upon Luther. Zahariel felt the heat of the blast as it burned through the air past his head and struck Luther full in the chest. But the knight did not burn. Instead, the wards painted upon his skin flared with an icy luminescence, deflecting the energy in a boiling wave away from his body. He saw Luther bare his teeth in a wolfish grin. Then he opened his mouth and uttered a single word. The sound smote Zahariel like a hammer. He felt a searing pain in his ears and at the corners of his eyes, and he reeled under the blow. Israfael did as well. Bleeding from the eyes and ears, he staggered backwards before a searing bolt of plasma struck him full in the chest. The librarian's eyes went wide. There was a crater in his breastplate as large as a man's palm, its edges still molten. He swayed on his feet, his lips working as though trying to speak, then sank slowly to his knees and toppled onto his side. Zahariel glanced back the way the shot had come. Lord Cypher slowly lowered his plasma pistol and cast a wary glance towards Luther.
"Are you well, my lord?"
he asked. Luther didn't answer. Smoke curled in thin tendrils from each of the hexagramic wards covering his body.
"How is Sir Daviel?"
he asked. Master Ramiel was kneeling beside the charred body of the old knight.
"Gone to the halls of honour,"
he said quietly. Zahariel tore his gaze away from Cypher and staggered over to Israfael. The wound in his chest was grave, but he checked the librarian's life support systems nevertheless and was surprised to find a faint reading.
"Israfael still lives, my lord," he said. "What shall we do with him?"
Lord Cypher took a step towards the fallen librarian, his pistol still in hand. Luther stopped him with a hard glance.
"Summon a pair of servitors to take him to the apothecaries," Luther commanded. "When he's recovered enough, we'll transfer him to a cell in the Tower of Angels and see if we can convince him of the error of his ways."
Then he turned to Astolan.
"Are the strike teams ready, brother?"
The chapter master nodded.
"All is in readiness, my lord," he said. "Then your first orders are to arrest General Morton and his staff, as well as Magos Bosk and the senior officials of the Administratum,"
the Master of Caliban said.
"Spare their lives if at all possible, but do what you must to secure them. From this moment forward, Caliban is a free world once more."
Astolan hesitated. Zahariel could see the struggle in the warrior's eyes, but in the end, his loyalty to Luther won out over years of unthinking obedience.
"It shall be done," he said.
Master Ramiel rose wearily to his feet. Tears streamed down his face as he walked up to Luther.
"The knight of old has returned," he said,
his voice cracking with emotion. He reached out and gripped Luther's arms.
"Behold the savior of Caliban."